The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When Jesus had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he built the synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I, too, am a person subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come here,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning, said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, tiny little thought for you here for the day. The centurion here in the Gospel sends people to go and ask for Jesus' help. And he says this famous message we've heard many times before, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even enter under my roof. You just say the word and all will be well." And Jesus is astonished at his faith, speaking in the most superlative of all terms. Even in Israel have I found such faith. And that's why we repeat those lines every time we receive communion, hoping that the Lord will be just as pleased with our faith as he was pleased here with the faith of the centurion at Capernaum. Okay, but let's take a closer look at this here this morning. Why was Jesus so impressed with the centurion at Capernaum? And is there anything we can do to imitate it? Okay, so he says that his faith was so great. What was so great about his faith? Just a few lines before this, Jesus had already seen an astonishing display of faith. Do you remember the story in which four friends open up a hole in the roof when Jesus is speaking and lower their friend down on a mat right in front of Jesus? And Jesus like laughs out loud and says, "You guys have amazing faith." And he heals their friend right there on the spot. That happened before Jesus said this. So what makes the centurion's faith greater even than that? Two reasons why, okay? First, he has confidence in the power of Jesus' will all by itself, even if he isn't even there, even if he's nowhere to be found, okay? And secondly, he believes that that will is accomplished even if somebody else asks in his place. Even if he doesn't ask it himself, it's as though he asked it himself, because the centurion, as you know, is a military man and understands the chain of command. You probably already know that a centurion was in charge of 100 soldiers. Hence the name centurion, same root as century, same root as cent, word means 100. But a centurion himself was answerable to a prefect who was in charge of 10 centurions. And a prefect was answerable to an imperial guard who was in charge of 4 prefects. And every imperial guard was answerable to a general, and the general answered directly to the emperor. But if anybody, anywhere down along the chain of command, received an order, it might as well have been from the emperor himself. So the centurion tends to understand something that we tend to forget, and that is that Jesus delegates his authority. He works through us. It's part of the plan. And this is the power of intercessory prayer. Okay? So the centurion doesn't ask himself for the favor that he wants to receive. Others ask for him. So envoys from the village approached and urged Jesus to come and help, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him." And friends approached Jesus and said, I'm not worthy that you should even enter under my roof. You just say the word and my servant shall be healed. He doesn't ask on his own behalf. Others ask for him, and it's just like he asked himself. And we tend to forget sometimes in our individualistic times that we weren't created alone. We don't live alone, exist alone, and we don't go to God alone. We're meant to help one another. It's part of the plan. Now, there are graces and favors you've received in your life only because somebody somewhere else prayed for you. And if they hadn't, you never would have received them. And similarly, there are people who are in your life who are in need, and you're here this morning because you're supposed to hear the priest tell you that you're supposed to pray for them. That's part of God's plan. Back when we celebrated the Feast of St. Monica a few weeks ago, I told you that part of the mystery of prayer is that it's an extension of God's own work. We're meant to cooperate with the work that the Lord himself intends to do, but is freely chosen to do with our cooperation, which means people in your life, people who you hear about on the news, friends, family, extended family, whoever it might be, when you think of somebody who's in need and you feel inclined to pray for them, receive that as a little nudge from the Almighty. You're meant to pray for them. It's part of the plan. Because our Lord receives our prayers for others as though that person themselves approached the Lord in prayer. A little tiny reminder for us, you know, about the faith of the centurion and the way in which we can imitate that faith for our good, for the good of those we love, and for the praise and glory of God the Father. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us here today. Saints Cornelius and Cyprian, pray for us.